broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everyone, to the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. And yes, Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen are both here today.
Wow, banner day.
It is true. I mean, I filled in for Mark when he was in Hawaii surfing. Just so you know, Mark, I'm going to be in Cleveland next week, and you're going to have to fill in for me.
Wow. What are you doing in Cleveland? You're not
I'm
surfing,
speaking. I really am.
Going on vacation, huh?
Yeah. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum. No, I'm speaking there at the Self-Directed IRA Institute. You know, any of you want to go out there and learn about self-directed IRAs, I will be speaking there. But welcome, everyone, to this show. It's great to be with you with my partner, Mark Kohler. This show is about how to save taxes, protect your wealth, protect your assets, live the American dream. And we're just excited to be with you today.
Yeah, we got a great show, and our guest later is going to be a lot of fun. We've got Stacy Springer, executive chef, a TV personality, coming on the show with some really, I hope to see some interesting insights on how, really, the food industry is just an onslaught of just, restaurants to catering to TV personalities. How do you distinguish yourself or make money in food? So it's food. It should be free, right? Healthcare, food.
Right. Well, we all want it, you know. So you think it'd be easy to sell, but it's a competitive industry for sure. But thanks for finding the show. Of course, you can always find the show on iTunes under the Refresh Your Wealth podcast. We also want to encourage you to go to refreshyourwealth.com. You can find out more information about the show, find out how to connect with Mark and I there as well, and most importantly, sign up for our free weekly newsletter. Has tax tips, legal tips, articles, video, all the content we're trying to get out there for you, we throw into the weekly newsletter. And we've got, as Mark said, I think 36,000 people sign up for that newsletter. So go join all those people at the KQS Canny newsletter party. It's hopping.
It's hopping. If you haven't been in an accounting chat room lately, this is your chance. it's pretty cool. But it's a one side note, Matt, I did come through on my promise for the newsletter. I finally finished the article on personal privacy versus property privacy. I'm going to repeat that. A very insightful, I thought, if I may say so myself, concept of distinguishing the difference between privacy in your personal life versus the privacy of an asset. Because many of us could throw caution to the wind when it comes to our personal information. We're marketing ourselves, we're branding ourselves. We're going to be talking about branding today. How do you, you got social media, you're letting people know where you're at. That's not very private. But you may want your assets to be private and very difficult for someone to find. Those are two different things. We've got clients that they hold real estate in their own name. They're terrible on their asset privacy. But they don't do social media. They never share their personal address. They're very cautious about what information they share privately about themselves. But I can do an asset search and find all their assets. So, again, they're two different things. And so, Matt, I just wanted to throw down that article is finished and available for your viewing at the blog.
Yeah.
On the law.
Now that was a legal tip or tax tip a few weeks ago. So, those of you who are frequent listeners of the Refresh Your Wealth podcast, you'll know what Mark's talking about there. If you don't know what he's talking about, go read the article. There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
So, Matt, one other quick announcement, then I'll let you go with legal tip first because I'm talking too much. But I want to remind everybody that this is my 7th annual tour, Rockstar Tour, sponsored by Rockstar. Rockstar. I'm at least saying that. Hopefully they're going to send me a case of Rockstars. They haven't yet. But
free, man. They don't even have to do anything.
Gosh, I know. The lemonade. Rockstar is my favorite. But you can send that to the address
on
our website. But anyway, I'm going to be in the first location September 23rd in Seattle. So any of you listening in the Seattle area, please come out for a day. It's very affordable, a couple hundred bucks, includes lunch. I'm going to throw it on my year-end tax tips. If I don't save you 10 or 20 times for the cost of the event and your time to come out, I'm going to save you a ton in just some basic tax tips. We're talking about wealth building, integrating it all into your asset and estate plan. It's an annual workshop. And some of you are like, well, I've heard you before, Mark, or you're my accountant, so I don't need to go. Oh, no, no, no. You're the captain of the ship. I'm just your first mate. You got to know what's going on. So please, folks, if you haven't signed up for one of the fall workshops, get to markjkohler.com, markjkohler.com, and check it out. We got Chicago, Sacramento, Orange County, and Honolulu on the docket as well. So check out those dates. Please sign up right away. Got to plan the menus. I was just working on the catering menu, and I'm like, oh, got to figure out headcount. So please sign up sooner than later. Now, Matt, you have our legal tip this week. I get the honor of the tax tip.
Yes. That's how we're going to do it today. So, all right. Well, this legal tip, let me roll with it right now.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. Well, I'm going to talk about copyrights today. Copyright protection. This is probably the least important of all the intellectual property protections, I will say. Many businesses will get a patent for something. Many will get a trademark for, you know, to protect their slogan. But copyright can be important for certain people. But it's I'd say it's the weakest of the three main types of intellectual property.
Well, thanks for choosing an important one for today's show, Matt.
Well, we've already given the patent and trademark one before, so. But here's the deal.
Just wanted to close it. Yeah. That's fine. Closure.
This is
so
the
we're
least
doing
important.
This, for you.
This is the
closure.
Least important tip you can hear about. And no. But I would say it's the weakest, but it's also the most used. Okay. You've created some original work, and that's what copyright's meant to protect. Whether it's an ebook, how many of you have an ebook? A blog article on your website? Obviously, if you've written a book, you made any original work, that can be copyrighted. And so you can protect anyone from reproducing that. Now, I've actually had with my book, the Self-Directed IRA Handbook, I've had people use my book and unfairly, I should say, redistribute it, pull out diagrams and like word-for-word examples in my book that they've used on their websites. And I'm usually like, ah, that's okay. Let's let the good word spread, you know. But that's technically, that would be, if someone was pulling that out of my book, a violation of the copyright laws, because my book is an original work of art and it is protected by the copyright laws.
Did you just say work of art? I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Jeez. Boy, you give this guy an inch and he takes a mile.
that did come out a little strong.
Who would copy your book? Jeez, this guy must be some nerd and, you know, some guy up in Siberia is producing a blog article for fellow, you know, whale hunters. And, no, I'm just joking.
Actually, this needs to be an original work. It doesn't have to qualify as art, okay? It's my original work, okay?
Okay.
All right. All right. Here's another important part to know about this. If you want a patent or a trademark, you have to file to the USPTO, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. You have to make a filing, pay a fee, fill out a bunch of paperwork, and then you go through a process of getting that approved. Copyrights are not filed like that. You can file with the U.S. Copyright Office, but no one does that anymore because you can automatically obtain copyright protection simply by using a notice, and even the notice now is not even required. But most people, most attorneys will recommend to throw a copyright notice. That's that little C that you put in, you know, on your original work saying it's copyrighted. So that's the copyright laws. Just think of it as you're putting out your own original work and representing yourself or your business. Those items can be copyrighted, and you can prevent anyone from reproducing that work and you know, unfairly benefiting from your blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah, and I like, Matt, how you said it's free to use. Just do it.
Yeah,
just,
why not?
You know, you put the little circle C thing by your name or your company name. And everybody listening to the show, if you're a business owner, this copyright symbol should be on your website. If you're producing a blog.
Yeah.
And it gives you a chance to get your name out there. People call me all the time and email me and say, hey, Mark, can I put your blog article on our website? Can I put your diagram on our website? And I say, thank you for asking. And yes, of course you can. Just indicate that cite it, you know, that Mark Kohler wrote this or designed it. And guys, when you work so hard, I know Matt and I do, I stay up, oh man, countless nights coming up with ideas and writing an article or a blog or something. Yeah, you got to protect that. I think maybe your tip was okay. I'll give it a 3 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, so. You know, don't go see it in the theater, but maybe watch it on Netflix.
There you go. That's fair enough. Fair enough. That's
you give me that much, all right.
I'll give you that much. Okay. All right. Okay, well, let's throw down a tax tip.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
Okay, well, I'm going with another kind of mainstream tax tip today that I know will affect all of you, but may not seem as, you know, shocking or sexy, and that is...
Boy, you're not leading off very strong either.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just throwing ourselves under the bus here. I'm just kind of, you know, setting expectations, so I'm not going to wow anybody, but this is one you got to take advantage of. Everybody, this should be on your tax return. And that is the auto deduction and mileage. And I'm constantly having phone calls with clients clarifying this, so I thought I'd bring it up on the show today. And so let me make 2 or 3 points that may be helpful to some of you. First, mileage is on every one of your cars. So if you have a truck, a car, a motorcycle, an RV, and you use any of those for business, as an accountant, I want to... document your mileage for each vehicle for business. So don't think it's just your primary vehicle. So when I tell clients, I want to know your mileage on all your vehicles for business, a lot of them are like, whoa, I didn't think of that. Next, remember it starts with mileage. Mileage is probably what 90% of our clients use as a deduction. It's powerful. It includes everything but your loan interest, but it includes fuel, repairs, maintenance, everything. And it's since this is an evergreen radio show, I have people that will listen to this a year from now. I want to just say that you're going to be around 55 cents a mile. And it changes every year. It's adjusted for inflation. If gas prices go up, it goes up. If gas prices go down, it goes down. I shouldn't say it's adjusted for inflation. It's adjusted for gas prices. But the auto mileage deduction is going to hover in the mid-50-cent range, and it's a fantastic write-off. Many of my business owners are going to push 10,000 miles just on the open road, meeting with clients, driving to conferences, checking on real estate, meeting with customers, vendors. That's all good. That's all fodder for the auto deduction. And the last tip or point I want to make is that a lot of people have the misconception that this is a really risky deduction. I just talked to a client this last week, and this is what spurred me on today to bring it up as a tip. He said, oh yeah, my accountant says it's too risky to do auto. I just took a few hundred miles. I'm like, what? You're entitled to it. Freaking take it. Don't be afraid of the mileage or auto deduction. If you deserve it, you should take it. And you shouldn't be afraid of it. So I don't know. Matt, anything you want to add to that? Or did I?
Yeah. No, that's right. That applies to really any business owner, real estate investor, that you should be taking mileage. But I love the little tidbit you threw in there too, that interest isn't part of that mileage. So you can also, if you're taking mileage, you can also write off the interest on the auto too, based on your percentage of use, right?
Yeah. And a lot of people forget to call. And this accountants, this is something we're constantly educating our accounting team to do on our checklist internally, is to ask our clients, how much did you have an auto loan this year? Yeah. Well, could you call the bank or go online and log on to your bank website for your auto loan and find out how much interest you paid last year? And they're like, wow, my accountant's never asked me that before. Well, that's on top of mileage.
Yeah.
Wow. And so you start thinking of those little things. They add up. And last point, a lot of people ask, well, do I have to track my miles literally with a log? If you get audited, you have to come up with a log, something that's ethical and honest. Do your best. I'm terrible at it. But these new apps are pretty amazing. A lot of people are getting free apps or paying a few bucks per month for an app where they're GPS tracking, and you can just push a button and go, hey, I'm driving here for business to go visit so-and-so or meet with so-and-so, and then beep, and then this app tracks your business miles, and then you get a little report at the end of the month or the year. So those are very helpful too. But don't stress about the recording issue or tracking issue. Just come up with something that's ethical and honest. And IRS agents that we've worked with over the years get it. They're cool with that. They're not going to, you know, hold you to the.
They're not going to put you in IRS jail or anything.
No, you're not going to IRS jail. As long as you're not too greedy. Remember, pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered.
Yeah, and, exactly. I drove 100,000 miles this year.
Yeah, yeah, you did. I believe you. Sure.
All right. Well, that's a good tax tip, Mark. Well, let's dive into our show today. We have, this is our part of our series, as we mentioned, Entrepreneur in the Trenches. And I think, Mark, you're going to introduce our guest.
Hey, all right. Now I get the honor of introducing our guest, who I've already mentioned a little bit, Matt and I, off and on at the beginning of the show here. We are talking to another entrepreneur in the trenches, just someone that can hopefully share some insights for all of us that will help us succeed in our individual American dream. So we're excited to have Stacy Springer with us here, executive chef of Einstein's Kitchen LLC, and her pedigree of accomplishments is just unbelievable. It's so fun to have her here. We haven't had, Matt, have we ever had a chef on the show?
I mean, you're not a chef. I'm not a chef. So
so apparently not.
And I don't think this is a first, you know, this is a first.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about meatballs at this holiday season. And Mr. Schwetti is coming on. No, I'm sorry. I had to go.
We're going to go to our NPR voices.
So. Yeah. Hello.
That joke's been overdone.
It's been overdone. Sorry. Little Saturday Night Live humor for those that have not seen that. Okay. So anyway, back to my introduction. I'm totally hamming this up way too much. But Stacy is, we are so excited to have her with us locally in the Salt Lake City area. She is a superstar. She's on the TV on a regular basis at KSL in Park City. She caters weddings. She does cooking classes. She's writing columns. She's been on the Utah number one lifestyle show over and over again as a regular guest. She's got some audio books. We'll talk about those. And she's currently working on a new pilot for Food Network. So this is exciting to have her on the show to kind of see how she's distinguishing herself in this really busy industry of food. It's just exploded in the last 10 to 20 years. So, Stacy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here and a pleasure. I mean, when your accountant invites you on his show, I didn't know that was a goal of mine, but I'm going to put that on my list.
Yeah. First, sure. She was like, my accountant has a show? What the hell? What kind of accountant is this?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to be talking.
Yeah, you should. This is, you know, you should feel honored to be on this show.
I am.
Well, thanks so much for coming. Maybe you can tell us about how you got started. I mean, what's your, do you have a passion for food? Did you like grow up cooking? Or, I mean, what is this? How did you get into this as a business? Let us know how that got started for you.
Well, there was a bright light. And then I came out and I started eating. And then I was fulfilled. No. So I actually worked in the medical field for 10 years before I switched over to the culinary arts. Mm. So wow. I just got passionate about that. I started cooking on TV and watching all the cooking shows. And I was like, this is fun. Like when the garlic hits the pan, like I felt life in there. It was amazing and it smelled great. And those were some things that we weren't really allowed to use at my house just because there are people in my family that didn't like those things. And so mm-hmm. I got to experience new things. And so I decided I was going to go to culinary school. And this was in Scottsdale. It's been 10 years actually now since I went to culinary school. And then I got some pretty great jobs at some 4-star French restaurants. And then I got fired.
What?
Do you know that you have to show up to work to have a job?
Got to show up to play, huh?
I thought, you know, the culinary industry, there's a little bit of leeway there, though. No?
Yeah. You got some interesting characters. But you know what got in my way was tons of anxiety. I would be on my way driving there, and I'd be like, I'm going to screw it up. I'm going to ruin everything. And so, you know, I would make myself sick. And so I'd have to call in. And I did that several times. So they nicely were like, hey, why don't you just take some time and come back in the spring? And I remember like just being devastated, but also relieved at the same time. because I was let off the hook, but I also had failed. And so, go ahead.
So I guess there's a transition here from being an employee in a restaurant to being an entrepreneur in the industry. What happened? What next?
Do tell. So, I was like, hey, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. Right. Cause I was feeling too much pressure there. So I started doing catering. I started doing my own business. And then, I mean, that took a few years. I decided I hated everything about cooking cause I was a failure. Right. But then I started my own. I love to teach. I'd find myself in the grocery store helping people. Don't buy that gravy packet, please. Let me write it down for you on a sticky note. And then I was helping people cook. And I was like, I really should turn this into a business because I'm spending valuable time and knowledge and I'm not earning any money doing it, right? But I've spent thousands and thousands of dollars to get this education. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
No, great. So, I mean, what was the first thing you started making money at? When did you start? Was it classes where you started saying, all right, you guys got to pony up. There's no more freeloaders. You guys got to start paying for this.
Yes. No more sticky notes. You got to sit down and pay me.
No more sticky notes. Yeah, I think it was a catering job where I do birthday cakes for people. And, you know, I didn't make a lot of money doing that because it was a lot of time. But I did finally get paychecks for that. I was seeing value in my work. Okay. And then I was like, oh, that's a lot of work. I would love to teach instead. And so that kind of transitioned into that. And we built our home with the intention of me teaching in the home. And so I made it under my terms again. So okay. It can look like this.
Now, what's exciting for me, and I want our listeners to know this, is, you know, a good caterer is hard to find. But, you know, once you find a good caterer, we've got one here in our local area we've just fallen in love with. I can't ask Stacy to load up a van and drive north to Idaho to cater a little shindig of mine. So I've got to have a local one. Yeah, I won't do that to you. But finding a good caterer, I think many of us out there for a party or a function or a family affair, a good caterer, once you find one, you're like loving it. That's cool. So you've got catering dialed in. Then you did a few classes. But what caught mine and Matt's attention is that you're trying again to take it to another level, which involved TV. I know that you're working on a book. The Food Network's now in the mix. What caused you to go? Why didn't you just leave it at catering? What's your problem? Why? What are you looking for a bruising?
Yeah. You know what? I love people. I love people, and I feel I'm attracted to people. I feel like they're attracted to me. I have an energy that can help it make cooking fun. And so I was like, hey, could I do a better job at reaching more people by being on TV and adding a little freedom to our world? Because, you know, cooking can be super intimidating and people aren't wanting to do it and adding to the health of the world. If I can make it fun, put some red in my hair, make it fun, you know?
So where are you trying to go? I mean, the end goal for you is what? Where are you going to be most happy? Your business is successful. I love how you say you're doing it on your own terms too. I like that. You're picking and choosing what you want to do instead of just, you know, getting in a rut, so to speak. I think some businesses just like, well, this is making money today, so I'm just going to do it because it'll make me money tomorrow. But you're kind of going on your own terms, which is cool. But where are you wanting to end up?
Oh, that's such a great question. And, you know, I've written, like, my 10, 20, 30-year plan out.
Yeah.
That's hard because I'm a big-picture person rather than a detail person.
You can call this a therapy session if you want. Every day.
Yeah, I would write that stuff. I'd love to travel the world. I'd like to bring easy cooking all over the world. I want it to be easier for people and fun. And so, you know, I'm open to whatever that looks like.
You know, there's a big problem, I think, in America, at least, with people don't know how to cook anymore.
Amen.
You know, I like how you said easy cooking. Like the millennials, I mean, I don't think I'm a millennial. I don't know. But those millennials, you know, they eat out for like every meal because they don't know how to cook. But I think an older generation is just, they grew up learning how to cook.
Talking about me.
Yeah, the older.
Thank you.
Mark, how many times do you cook a week? Let's be honest.
Well, I'm going to say this right now. I love Blue Apron. I am a Blue Apron fan.
Awesome.
And in fact, for those that don't know Blue Apron, they send you the box where you have all your little things you're going to need, your produce, your meat, your seasoning. And I've got to be honest, Stacey, it's brought our family together. It really,
I love it.
Yeah. And I don't want to get emotional, but
do
like
it.
my my daughter Molly and I, like, I'll be like, Molly, what are we cooking tonight? And she's a 14-year-old now, so she's barely tolerating me. I probably have one more year before I'm completely ostracized out of her life. But I call her and I'll say, what are we cooking tonight? And we'll pull open the Blue Apron menu and the box and what do we got? But we sit and chop together food and vegetables and then cook. It's been a lot of fun. So anyway, I don't know how we got there, but I'm a kind of a Blue Apron fan.
That is beautiful. And I really was considering doing that. And then that got really big after I was like, maybe that's not the direction I want to go. So my idea is, you have an idea, it's going to go somewhere. Whether or not you own it, somebody's going to do it if the world needs it. Mm-hmm. And so that's great. That's great. I love that.
Well, let me ask this, and sorry, Matt, to cut you off, but let me throw this out. The nice thing about your industry, and Stacy, you and I have talked about this before, is that you have so many different sources of income. That's one nice thing about your business, because let's think about it. You could cater, you could teach a class. I mean, this could all happen in 1 week. You could teach a class, you could cater, you could be paid to show up on a TV show, which you're already doing. You could make money off the sales of a book. You could also have, and you're selling little products. You're doing selling videos, training videos, and also aprons and supplies and hats and product. There's so many sources. What's working for you now? Where do you see your next revenue source?
There's also, like, don't forget the audio CDs, Lord of the Loin 1 and 2. I saw those on the website.
Yeah, we got to get into Lord of the Loin. I don't know where we're going to go with that one, but
intrigue. Okay, the question was.
Yeah, we'll come back to Lord of the Loin.
Different funnels of income, okay. Different ways income comes in.
You said loin and my mind went. Okay, so there's so many different ways of income. And it's funny because I've got a little bit of a squirrel mentality, right? You guys know you both have it too, over here and over here. And so I love it because it creates choices. I can cater, I can teach, I can have a book. And they all can be bringing in money at the same time. And I love that. I thought it had to be one thing when I started.
What seems to be working best right now?
Right now, I'm pushing TV. Technically, I'll have to correct you. It's not Food Network. It's out of Park City Television, but it's airing in two different states with the potential. I'm open to the potential of Food Network, but I just want to reach so many people. So it's the idea of getting paid, because a lot of TV, you either pay for your airtime or you donate it. I've been lucky enough to not have to pay for it, but I haven't been paid. So that is the next step for me. And that's starting to happen.
So what do you feel like from a marketing plan? I know you said you've got your 10-year plan, 20-year plan. I love that. But tell us how you're marketing your business. I mean, you're really developing a personal brand, I'd assume, in doing this, because you are like the talent, so to speak. So tell us about what you're doing marketing-wise and what's successful. What's working for you?
Well, early on, I had a photographer come to all of my events, just a friend. Had him take tons of pictures. I had a friend do graphics design for me. And if people feel like it appears professional, you get credibility. You know, I was offered to go on TV. That's another, you know, link of credibility. If they just think if you're on TV or if you have a podcast, you know what you're talking about. Some people do.
Exactly.
But some people do. And so just those little things help with marketing. You can choose very expensive marketing. You can choose free marketing. And I've done both. And I'm still learning, as I'm only 3 years in this business, I'm still learning what's serving me the best. And so far, Instagram, Facebook, and really word of mouth is really, and learning, getting new relationships like you guys, and expanding to, now I have your wonderful followers that I'm being introduced to through you guys, and vice versa, right? So these are how those things work.
Yeah. Well, now on to the website, let's mention it now, ekbytes.com, for those that would like to see who we're talking to. Stacy's got a very a good website. I love it. That's E as in Einstein Kitchen, Einstein Kitchen Bites, BITES.com. And did I get that right, Stacy?
You did. Good job.
Okay, good. So ekbytes.com.
Get over two letters, one like, word. Congratulations, Cole. You got it.
Okay. You know, I got kind of an indicator there in the studio. I was like screwing something up. So I want to make sure I'm good.
Oh, you're great.
I think this is kind of a fun question. I mean, I want to ask what you think of Pioneer Woman. We'll come to that in a moment. But what have you thought of going on some of the shows like Cupcake Wars or Cutthroat Kitchen. I know some of those are pay to play. Like, I was shocked to hear that. Like, if you want to go Cupcake Wars, you're bringing all your own gear. You're writing them a check. I was like, what?
Right.
What shows do you just compete to be on versus pay? Have you considered that? Is that helpful? I don't know.
When I think about going on the shows like that, I have to go throw up in the corner because it makes me so nervous because it's entertainment. It's entertainment. And so they're trying to make you look like an idiot or, you know what I mean? Like
a genius, one of the two.
Yeah. It's probably a genius would be my guess.
Yeah.
So I'm like, do I want to pay to create an image that I have zero control over of how they skew it? And so I've kind of stayed away from some of that because once again, I want to be able to control as much as I can the image that I'm putting out there.
Where if you get build up enough of a reputation yourself, then you can get a contract like a Pioneer Woman. For those that haven't seen her show, I think it's a great show. At least it plays out that she's in her own kitchen cooking for her farmhands and her family. And she runs out a Dutch oven at lunch and they eat on the tailgate. And then she comes back to the house and you're like, oh, my gosh, that was cool. That type of show is probably more up your alley, right?
It would be a very different show, but definitely there's no running out to the farm here, but yes, exactly what you're saying is I want it to appear authentic. And some of those shows are, it's fun in the nature, it's competition, but that's not necessarily what I'm about.
Well, let me try and get some tips maybe you could give to other people who are trying to build a brand or a business. Maybe someone's thinking they just got fired from their job and they're thinking, hey, what can I go out and do and
make them feel better?
Yeah. So, but what are some tips you give to people who are trying to build a brand? I like one thing you just talked about too. When Mark asked you about these reality shows is you're like, well, I can't control the image. It seems like you're very cautious and protective of your personal image as it relates to your brand, which I guess gets a little out of control on reality TV. But what tips would you give to people who are, I mean, a lot of people, Mark and I, we have personal brands, you know. We're out doing stuff. We're writing books. We have our own separate websites. Just, you know, we have our business websites, our firm websites, and other stuff we do together. But we're still trying to build a personal brand. What tips do you give to people out there trying to build that brand for themselves?
Stop being a perfectionist. Okay. Number one, stop. Just do it. Write 10 names down of your company. Choose one. Einstein's Kitchen is the name of my company. I did not love it. But I was like, if I don't start, it's going to be 5 years. And so I learned to love it just like you do your children. Okay.
Yes.
It becomes yours and it's great. And if you want to change it, you can, it's okay. Everything feels so permanent and you just need to let go of that. It's going to be okay. So I would say just get started.
Let's stay with that topic for a minute.
Okay,
and maybe
that's
you
a good
talk
tip.
About your
good tip.
Yeah, that's a great tip. I didn't expect you to say that. And Matt and I have done some shows where we talk about the differences between women and men. And I want to bring your husband in. Maybe you can talk about, because this is a family business. You talk about your husband on your website. You're very proud of him. You say a lot of flowery things on your website about him. So I don't know if that relates to your ebook or your video. But I wanted to say that's a common problem we see with women versus men businesses. Maybe you'd highlight that, is a lot of men can be too impetuous. They jump right in, they don't take the time, they take pride in being a fast decision maker, and it can haunt them later. Where on the flip side, I have women business owners that they're in analysis paralysis. They're not taking it the step forward. They're thinking way too much about it, and they flounder for too long. I like that you said, hey, I just had to take action to do it. I didn't need to be perfect about it, but I had to just move forward. And I thought that was really insightful. Do you feel like as you work with other women in business or not to bring gender into the kitchen.
Zing.
Zing. But
just walked into that one, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. That was, yeah. But men in the kitchen, women in the kitchen. I don't know. Did you find a difference there? Does that,
you know what? I've been learning a lot about personalities and what I feel like there. So we're going to go with masculine, feminine energy. Okay. So let's say women really relate to safety. And so maybe that's what you're referring to, is we're a little bit cautious. We want something to be safe. And, you know, we usually can use the man to keep our safety. And so the men are, they just go and they feel confident, right? Well, we all have both energies, right? If we want to call them that. I tend to be a more masculine energy person. I'm really fast. I think later. And so I have to kind of, well, my husband is the opposite. He's very cautious. And so the opposite is attract thing, right? You know? And so I kind of have to find a balance there, but you're right. There is a paralysis by analysis. Cause I, can I do this because I'm a woman? I'm the youngest of 6 kids and I'm a girl. So I was the baby. So it's like, I felt like I couldn't do stuff a lot cause I was the baby, you know, everybody else was doing it, but I couldn't. Hmm. So I've had to kind of overcome some of it. We're talking about feelings again.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it permeates business. It's so important.
It does. So, you know, you just kind of learn to kind of check in with yourself and go, is this a safe risk? You know, I think that's kind of a weird thing, safe risk. But I ask experts, like I have a rock star accountant and I have a husband and I have, you know, people that the men, because guess what? Men are kind of awesome. I'm really not super intimidated by men and they're helpful. And so I just get advice from people who have been there before or have expert opinions.
I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. If that's all right. I love the touchy feely, you know, but, how did you ever come to a point in your business where you needed money? I'm just curious if like, is your,
what?
Yeah, like you had to raise money or, save money. That's a big obstacle for people starting a business. Tell us how you dealt like in the foundational stages, or maybe even now, if you're going into production stuff, I don't know. Yeah, how do you deal with those issues with money? What have you done to try and, self-finance your business or however you have financed it?
Yeah. Great question. Money is one of the many tools that can make things work. So I did a lot of trade at the beginning. You know, hey, will you come to this class and then you tell 10 people or, you know, whatever like that. I did go to the bank to say, hey, will you want to give me 50 grand to start this business? And they're like, we have no idea who you are. So that was really hard.
They didn't want to take some Thanksgiving dinners for the next, you know, decade in exchange.
I'll give you something really nice, like a hot dog. Oh, yeah, and I'll make it work. But luckily I had, you know, personal people in my life that knew me and were willing to help invest in me. Not everybody has that option, but that worked out for me. And so I got the ball rolling. I got an investor early on that I could get things going. Okay. And so that helped there, but did that answer your question?
Yeah, yeah. So did they loan you the money or did you give them a cut of the business?
Yeah, this one was a loan. Okay. But I have done percentages or trades or, okay. Yeah.
You don't have to get too specific. I mean, this is not attorney client privilege after all, but I'm just trying to help people understand it. This is a big stumbling block is, you know, everybody's gonna need money at a certain point. Where do I go? You know, and I think it's, if someone like you, someone could look at you and say, you know what? I know Stacy. I know she's passionate about what she does. She's good at what she does. She's going to be a good investment. You know, people that know you are more likely to give you the money than the bank. Who's like, who are you? You just walked in here. I don't know. You know, your bank account doesn't have enough money in it. That's why you've came to me. So why am I loaning you money? You know?
Exactly. And you go in there with that attitude and it's almost kind of like, you know, they're going to say no.
Right.
It's all on paper. You know, I had the bank guy come to my house. He sees the beautiful kitchen that we've set up and everything. And he wants to sign up for a class, but he won't approve my loan.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So, as far as specifics, I think there was a percentage on the loan that I had and I'm paying back over 10 years or something. And, you know, the intention is to pay it off way before that, but that's how we set it up initially.
Okay, cool.
Good. That's good. Thanks for sharing. Well, this has been phenomenal and we appreciate you taking valuable time out of your schedule and so much. What can we do to help you? Oh, is this the portion of the show where you bring in a platter of food for us to try? Yep. Did we miss that part?
Oh, where is it? Nope, I got nothing.
Gosh darn, I hate radio.
Podcasts. Man.
Podcasts. And we got to do this in a live, studio with food. With live in the cook kitchen. Yeah, Matt Lauer and Samantha Guthrie, they get food in the morning on the Today Show. I don't get any of that. damn it.
You know, it's a podcast issue, but next time we can do it in person, and I'm all about that. We'll do some food.
Okay, there we go. Thanks so much for coming on the show again. And what can people do to get more of your information, support you, maybe get some great recipes and watch you online cook something really cool? Is there somewhere you want to send someone and say, you got to watch me cook this, these cream puffs or something cool? I don't know. What do you got? Tell me what you got.
Thanks for trying. You can definitely order everything from my website directly. So if you want to look, I put all of the shows on there, so you can just go to one place and find it. Order. There's classes online you can purchase at ekbites.com, and just, it's about to go. Cookbook, all that good stuff.
Fun. I was inspired to tell my daughter Molly about what you're doing. My little Molly, I'm working on a cookbook with her, teenagecook.com, and
I love
trying
it.
And we're going to watch one of your shows and cook something. I've committed to Molly. We're going to do it. I told her about our show and today, and we're going to put the laptop in the kitchen, and we'll cook something off your website. I promise.
I love it.
I'll report back.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks so much, Stacy. Thanks everyone also for listening this week. Of course, if you like the show, make sure you go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. We don't accept anything but 5-star reviews. And when you give a 5-star review, let Mark or I know. You can send us an email at Matt, M-A-T, or Mark, M-A-R-K, at kqslawyers.com. And we will send you a free copy of one of our books. Mark has 4. I only have 1, so you only got 1 choice on my end. But, you know, it's a really good one. So thanks again for listening. Mark, anything you want to leave on final comments here?
You know,
I'm kind of hungry, actually.
I know. I feel like I'm kind of at the end of a cooking show here where I'm like, stay cooking, keep it real. You know, have fun. Shake and bake. There we go. I was watching that over the little Talladega Nights quote. But I want to tell everybody to not give up. This is what is important about the show of Entrepreneur in the Trenches, is that Stacy explaining her fear initially of being in the kitchen and then getting off on her own. And those are real feelings that all of us share. It's not easy being an entrepreneur. And you can always feel like you've made the wrong decision or you don't make any decision at all. So keep listening to the show. We appreciate all of you being here each week. Share it with your friends and family, and we'll catch you next week for another episode of Refresh Your Wealth.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.